are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock with you once again, post-draft edition of the show on this Monday episode. How's everybody feeling? Did you get what you wanted for Christmas? Let's break down all of the draft picks. Well, we talked about Bosa already, but we'll talk about rounds 2 through 7 and see what the 49ers picked up after the draft, signing some undrafted free agents as well, and give some initial thoughts on the draft, how things went down, who they selected, and then as we go along here, we're going to get much more in-depth with each one of these prospects and learn a little bit about the newest San Francisco 49ers. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the show. You can find this podcast and all the shows on the Locked On Podcast Network on the new Himalaya podcast app, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the show, LockedOn49ers@gmail.com. Well, let's get into it. We've got a number of new 49ers. They drafted, they only had 6 picks coming in, ended up with 8 draft selections. The 3 sixth round picks, they added a 5th rounder as well. Dakota Watson has been moved out of San Francisco to Denver, and they were able to trade a 6th and Dakota Watson to get up in the 5th round to draft a player there, and that opens up number 97 for Nick Bosa, obviously. So Nick Bosa most likely will be using his college number for the 49ers, wearing that 97, made famous by the great Bryant Young. And I'm actually still a little disappointed that they're letting people wear that jersey, but there's too many really great 49ers in the past that there would be no numbers left if they didn't let people wear all these numbers. So even though it's weird to see people wearing Bryant Young's number or somebody wearing Frank Gore's number or somebody wearing, you know, obviously aside from all the retired numbers, there's a lot of famous numbers in 49ers history that are still out there and still able to be worn. 97, one of those. BY is one of my favorite guys growing up. He's so good. But Nick Bosa hopefully is on that level and most likely will be wearing number 97 for the 49ers as their first round pick, number 2 overall. But let's move beyond round 1 and start talking about round 2. And the 49ers wide receiver Deebo Samuel out of South Carolina. And a great pick. And he's the guy I've been mocking to the 49ers all along. The worst kept secret, I think, in the NFL was that the 49ers probably had a very high grade on Nick Bosa, and they probably had a very high grade on Deebo Samuel, especially with that connection of, I mean, it's not only is Deebo Samuel a very Kyle Shanahan type of receiver, and is very similar to Pierre Garçon, actually, is a pretty good comparison for what Deebo Samuel is, who banned that Z-wide receiver for the 49ers already, and they were looking for another guy there, and Deebo just really fit that mold, but also playing the Z position on Kyle Shanahan's South squad at the Senior Bowl and being the best player at the Senior Bowl in those practices and taking over in some cases. So Deebo Samuel to the 49ers, not a surprise at all, and a really, really good fit. And one of the things that I love about Deebo Samuel is his ability to run after the catch. And he might not be a supersized wide receiver. There's so many big wide receivers in this draft, and he wasn't one of those over 6 feet tall receivers, but he's not small either. And he plays big. 5'11 and a half, 217 pounds, built a little bit like a running back. I think the best comparison, the best way I could compare him, I mean, I think Pierre Garçon's a pretty good comparison. I would say Golden Tate because of the body type and his ability to play a little bit bigger and run after the catch and do some things like Golden Tate can. But there's a sprinkle of Odell Beckham in there. And obviously the 49ers went hard after Odell Beckham, so you know they like that in him. And he's got some explosiveness. He's not, I don't think he's an amazing athlete, like top level athlete, but he's a really good athlete and across the board. And he's got short area quickness. He's got long speed. He can run away from people. With the ball in his hands, he is so good, and he is so good after the catch. And the one route that sticks out to me when you watch Deebo Samuel play is the slant route. And he, I'm not even joking, every time he catches a slant route, he almost takes it to the house, like every single time. It's crazy. And Jeff Deeney, our friend from Pro Football Focus, that we're definitely going to have come on the show here and break down some some of those PFF numbers on these players. But one of the stats that I thought was amazing that Jeff dropped, and we were talking about the slant god that Deebo Samuel is that Deebo Samuel averaged. I'm going to repeat this. Deebo Samuel averaged 31 yards per catch on slant routes. That is nutty. That is craziness. I mean, people don't average 31 yards per catch on go routes. 31 yards per catch on slant routes. So that's what kind of a runner after the catch Deebo Samuel is. And after Nick Bosa, I think Deebo Samuel has the opportunity to be the biggest impact player in this class. I think he's a great fit for Shanahan's offense. I think he's a fantastic player. He can get deep. He can be a red zone threat. He can run after catch. You can move him around, and I'm sure he will move around, you know, put him in motion, get him in the slot a little bit, even move him into the backfield. He can carry the ball. He can make plays after the catch, catch it short, take it the distance. He can catch the ball down the field. He's competitive at the catch point. So all of those things is why I like Deebo Samuel and why I think he's such a great fit and why it was no surprise at all that the 49ers and specifically Kyle Shanahan really loved Deebo Samuel. And he was their selection in round two at number 36 overall. And since only two wide receivers went in the first round, that was Marquise Brown, number 25, to the Baltimore Ravens. And at 32, last pick in the first round, N'Keal Harry went to the Patriots. Deebo Samuel, there was a run on offensive lineman early in the second round. Deebo Samuel was the third wide receiver off the board. And he was my third wide receiver in this class, but my first two were still on the board there, which was interesting. And a lot of people really loved A.J. Brown. He was also still on the board. He'd be the next wide receiver taken, not until pick 51 to the Titans. And then a bunch of guys went boom, boom, boom to the end of the second round. Mecole Hardman, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Paris Campbell, Andy Isabella, and then D.K. Metcalf was the last pick of the second round. And he was my wide receiver one. And we'll see how this all turns out. But, man, I got to believe there was 32 teams with 32 wildly different wide receiver rankings. And that's how this thing turned out. And it's awesome the way this class worked out because it was not quite as top-heavy as some classes recently, like 2014, but it was super deep. And there were players that went undrafted that I think are going to end up starting in the NFL. A guy like Kelvin Harmon was in the sixth round. That was crazy. Emmanuel Hall went completely undrafted. He was in my top 10 wide receivers. I really love Keelan Doss at UC Davis. He went undrafted, signed with the Raiders. Crazy deep class. But when it comes to wide receivers, there's one guy that popped up for the 49ers in round three. They double dipped at the position, or I think they double dipped at that position. More on the rest of this draft and how I felt about rounds three through six, because they didn't have a seventh round pick. Moving on to round three, and at this point, it became quite obvious that the 49ers, and I think it bared it out with their offseason strategy and their plan in free agency. They got a cornerback. They re-signed and Jason Verrett. They got a cornerback there, and they re-signed Jimmy Ward, and it's a full house, and it seemed like they were pretty well done and pretty well full at both safety and cornerback positions. Most people that watched the 49ers last year did not feel as confident as the 49ers do about their secondary and thought they should be adding some talent, particularly free safety, with Colbert's development up in the air, Jimmy Ward's health up in the air, and on a one-year contract, might be back here this time next year addressing that position again. But there's also a path to it being actually okay. But the 49ers really believe in the guys they have in the secondary right now. They think the guys they have are good, able to start, play well, and the young guys developing. And are they overconfident there? I don't know, but it's very interesting. And looking at, I was talking about some of the wide receivers that just went. So the Seahawks drafted DK Metcalf. The Cardinals drafted both Andy Isabella and my guy, Hakeem Butler, who had no business falling to the first pick in the fourth round. Keyshawn Johnson also going to the Cardinals. So the Cardinals triple dipped at the wide receiver position, which I think is very smart in this class to keep drafting good wide receivers. So you got the speed demon in Andy Isabella, got the just raw, massive, impossibly long receiver in Hakeem Butler, who's a deep threat, does some things after the catch. So that's your X wide receiver. Then they also drafted the route runner, the guy that's a pretty good route runner, under athletic maybe, pure hands, Keyshawn Johnson out of Fresno State. Really good haul of receivers and very different. A varied group of wide receivers for the Cardinals trying to find some pass catchers for their new quarterback. They drafted number one overall in Kyler Murray. And if you're Josh Rosen, you're like, dude, where were these guys last year? You drafted me. I had no line and nobody to throw to, except for an ancient Larry Fitzgerald, who's pretty good too. But I guess they drafted Christian Kirk too. So that's another young receiver to throw in this group. So a very interesting young wide receiver group developing there with the Cardinals. And then obviously DK Metcalf, who's your 6'3 and a half, 228, 4.33 speed guy, I think is a great fit with, and by the way, the Seahawks also drafted Gary Jennings in the fourth round, but a great fit with Russell Wilson and DK Metcalf. So the 49ers sit here, don't address the defensive back position. They had so many breakdowns at defensive back last year, and the secondary just didn't gel. It didn't come together. And the division rivals loading up on wide receiving talent in a really talented and deep wide receiver class. So it's just an interesting dynamic there. So we'll see if they can cover next year. And it's going to be a fun one. I think there's going to be some really fun divisional matchups there. Seeing how Kyler Murray develops with the Cardinals, seeing if he's really that guy and he's dynamic. It'll be a really great quarterback division if he does develop. But no secondary help for the 49ers until the very end of this draft. We'll get to that. So let's talk about the third round pick. The Niners double dipped as well at wide receiver, and it was a shocker to me. And I think a lot of people were surprised, not really on the radar, possibly partly because he didn't work out at the combine and he was banged up. He had a meniscus injury, multiple injuries for Jalen Hurd out of Baylor University. 6'4 and a half, 228 pounds, 226 pounds, something like that. Former running back. He was the running back at Tennessee, shared time with Alvin Kamara in the backfield. Actually started over Alvin Kamara at Tennessee. And he was listed as 240. 6'4", 240 when he was at Tennessee as a running back. And it was when this pick came down, I was like, nope, it's too high. It's a bad pick. That was my initial reaction to it. And it was like, I'm going to go on the podcast and I'm going to crush the 49ers for making a terrible pick at the top of the third round with so much talent on the board, including cornerbacks, future NFL starting cornerbacks, future NFL starting safeties, future better NFL wide receivers, I think. And then Shanahan talked about it afterwards, and he kind of hinted at how he might use Jalen Hurd, and then talked about him even being growing more and being heavier. And it became pretty clear that they might not view Jalen Hurd as a wide receiver, more like a tight end, like an H-back, which makes a lot more sense. Because for being a former running back, Jalen Hurd actually has some pretty decent hands. He's got some natural hands. And he's got that running back athleticism where he's sort of a bursty athlete. He ran a 4.66 at Baylor's Pro Day. And he's not. And here's the reason I didn't like the pick for the 49ers, just because there was better receivers out there and receivers, you know, like can go get the ball downfield, can play outside. Jalen Hurd played in tight to the formation, like a big slot wide receiver. Didn't play outside, didn't show downfield ability really, even though he's pretty athletic and he's tall. He's not, basically, he doesn't play like an outside, tall, big wide receiver. So he plays like an H-back, which makes a lot of sense if that's what they, so here's the thing that I'm worried about with the 49ers. They're going to do the thing where they jerk him around and he plays, so he'll be wide receiver for his rookie year and not really get on the field. And then they'll move him to tight end the next year. And then he'll be playing behind Kittle, but then he's learning a new position. So then he'll be, you know, so then you're like at year three and you're like, okay, well, what position does he play? How do we use him? He hasn't really gotten on the field much. I'm worried that's maybe not the path he will go down, but I'm worried that is a possible path for Jalen Hurd's career based on the way they've treated a number of players that are versatile, and the versatility has almost hurt the player's development because they haven't been able to focus on one position. And hopefully the 49ers learn from their past mistakes and some of these other young players and figure out what they think the guy is and make him into that. And if it's an H-back, that's fine. Make him into that and start utilizing him and getting him in packages early in his career, and then, you know, start to utilize that talent, even if he might be a little bit too light for that position right away. If the 49ers think he's going to end up being a 240-pound move tight end, then he should be in the tight end room day one. That's what I would do with Jalen Hurd if I'm the 49ers. If you think he's going to be that Delanie Walker, and that was the comparison people are throwing at. Because people got mad at me on Twitter because I hated on the pick. Some people agreed with me, but Delanie Walker is a good comp for Jalen Hurd, but Delanie Walker was a sixth-round pick. You're going to draft a guy that you don't really know exactly how you're going to use him, who might be a backup at a few positions, and the versatility's great. But you're talking about pick 67, top of the third round. You should be drafting every down starters right there. So I get he could be a fun player, and I know Kyle Shanahan is salivating at being able to use him and put him in the backfield with his running back skills as a big slot receiver, moving him around, being a chess piece where you go into the huddle and the defense doesn't really know how to treat your personnel package. You know, is it 21? Is it 12 personnel? Is it 11 personnel? Like, what is this? The one thing I do like about Jalen Hurd is he does have, for a big player, 6'4 and a half, 226 pounds or whatever he is, he can move in a bursty fashion in short areas. He progressed pretty well as a route runner, getting free releases as a big slot. Not a great route runner, not nuanced or anything like that, but he has that ability to cut like a running back. So he can move and he can separate a little bit. And his hands were natural from the start, you can tell that. So that's good. So there's something to work with there. And first of all, it's just impressive the way he was built and his height, that he was a running back at the University of Tennessee, period. But impressive to be able to go from running back to wide receiver. So you can tell there's some work ethic there, I think, which is a good sign. And I think the 49ers probably liked something about him character-wise. And having a player that, if he remains as athletic as he is right now and what he looked like early in his career at Tennessee as a running back, stays that athletic and is at 240 plus, and then he's your H-back and moving him around and develops into a player who's on the field a lot and is versatile and useful, then it starts to make sense. And even then, I don't know, high third round is very high for a guy who's not going to be playing all the time. Like, you should be drafting every down starters at the top of the third round. And so that's what I worry about Jalen Hurd. If he, you know, is he a package player and he's going to be on the field five times a game? That you don't draft that in the third round. You draft in the sixth round, like where Delanie Walker was drafted, and then you get pleasantly surprised by what he becomes. They were throwing out Trey Burton as a comp too, and Trey Burton was not a third round pick either. So he was an undrafted free agent because he didn't really quite fit in. And then you utilize him in the way that you think you can and create matchups. And I like that idea. And if he was a sixth round pick, I would be like, I see where they're going with this and see what you get here and develop him. Top of the third round, just, it was too high for me. And even though he is athletic and it's crazy to have a 6'4 running back and have that kind of talent, and he is a talented guy, he's kind of being billed as this freak athlete. And I don't think he's that. He's a good athlete and he's a unique player for sure, but he's not a freak athlete. But I think the best, you know, hearing Shanahan talk about it and it's like, okay, I see where you're going with this. And I think that is the best plan of action. Just go there out of the gate, turn him into an H-back. He's going to need to work on his blocking because I think that's going to lack if he's going to try to play this tight end role, because right now there's some, he kind of like gets after it as a blocker, but he's bad at it. So I think it's not an effort thing. It's just technique. And so if he could be a better blocker, size will help him do that, but teach him the intricacies of the tight end possession. He should be in the tight end room from day one. That's his best path to playing time. Is in year two, he's the number two tight end after Garrett Celex in the last year of his contract. Now you've got the number two tight end with the ability to move him around. You can do some other things. You can still split him out wide if you want to, but have him learn that tight end position from the start. The other thing that worries me just slightly to wrap up the Jalen Hurd stuff, and we have to get moving here because we've got a lot of other prospects to talk about. There's an injury history here, and it's pretty significant. He had a meniscus injury, which is why he wasn't able to work out the combine and do the full Senior Bowl stuff. There was concussions in his past as a running back, and he wanted to move off of the running back position because of longevity and because he thought it would help his career and last longer. I worry that he gets drafted by the 49ers and like, oh, hey, we're going to make you play some more running back and move around there and play tight end in these more physically demanding positions where he might take more of a pounding. I'm worried he's not going to like that or be cool with that or maybe push back a little bit there. And so, because he's got to buy in. If he's going to be facing defensive ends sometimes, he's got to buy into that. And so hopefully he is on board with that. If he does buy in, and you put 10 or 15 pounds on him and he remains as athletic as he is now, I think that is a much more unique player to be able to move around. And you could use him as a short yardage runner even. You could use him, you know, moving around and catching those those short to intermediate routes, and he has good run after the catch ability as a former running back and runs hard, and so he can catch and run and do some of the things we saw George Kittle do. So I like that, and that's where I envision him being best. I still think top of the third round is a little bit much, but I can see where they're going with this, and if it turns out that he does develop that way and becomes this matchup nightmare of a weapon, then I think, you know, we'll definitely forget about how high he's drafted, and he could potentially earn that high of a draft slot. But as of now, not a high grade for that pick for me. Round one, round two was an A with Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel. I think it's like a C-minus draft pick for Hurd in the third, because I just think it's too high, because there's too many hurdles to what to that value of what should be an every down player that you're trying to draft at the top of the third round. But we'll see how his career goes, and he does have a unique skill set, and I'm excited to see how that develops, and I think he could be a weapon, and I want to see how they use him, and I hope they don't jerk him around. They pick a position, and they develop him there. Oh my gosh, we haven't even gotten to round four, where it just got weird. It just got weird and a lot of fun. I started having a lot of fun right there, because I was like, oh, I don't like the Hurd pick, and then in round four, the 49ers do the unthinkable. They draft the punter. All right, more on Mitch Wisnowski and the rest of the 49ers draft haul. Wisnowski. Did I say Wisnowski? Mitch Wisnowski. Try to get through these faster, and I watched a lot less of some of these guys in the fifth and sixth round, so we'll just scratch the surface on them here, and then I'll watch more of these guys. We'll get deeper and break down all of these players individually here on the podcast as we do throughout the off season. Remember to get this show every day. Subscribe to Locked On 49ers on the new Himalaya podcast app. In an ever-expanding podcast world, you need Himalaya with their personally curated playlists and new features every day. Download Himalaya at your app store and subscribe to Locked On 49ers. Man, I love seeing the reactions. I love that about Twitter, seeing the timeline just completely blow up when a team does something like draft a punter in the fourth round. Just awesome. And so there's not much to say about, like, this is the crazy thing is, and it was evidenced by the Jalen Hurd pick. They started at the top of the third round, pick 67. The 49ers think that their roster is so good that they could start screwing around in the third round, drafting, I don't want to call him a gadget player, Jalen Hurd, but, you know, drafting a unique skill set player where they think they can develop and have, fun. They're drafting fun pieces. They're drafting a punter in the fourth round. They think that their team is so good they could draft a punter in the fourth round because whoever they draft the rest of the way is probably not even going to make the team. Like, that's the vibe I get from a pick like that. They didn't want to wait to see if they could get into the fifth round, even though there were some really good players still on the board, like starting caliber players at high impact positions. In the third and fourth round, they were bypassing those for a punter, and that tells you how they feel about their roster. I want to ask you guys, hit me up on Twitter at BDPeacock. Do you think the 49ers are overestimating how good their current roster is? Or do you think they were in a position to be like, yeah, we're so good right now, we can start having fun. We can draft a guy like Jalen Hurd, who might not see the field for a while, and try to develop him into a unique player and have some fun there with an H-back, essentially, or a punter in the fourth round. I know most people hated the punter selection, but I mean, he's at least going to be on the field. He's going to be on the field a lot. He'll be on the field more than Jalen Hurd is as a rookie. There are only two players in this draft that Mitch Wisnowski will be on the field less than is Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel. So from that standpoint, they drafted a guy who's going to see a lot of playing time. And they had the obvious need for a punter, and he was the best punter in this class. And if he is if he is an awesome punter, an all-pro level punter, and he's flipping the field for you, and he's dropping dimes into the 10-yard line and putting teams at a bad position and backing teams up into their end zone to start their drives, and he's that valuable versus replacement punter in the long run and is around for 10 years, then it'll be a good pick. If they get the best punter in the league, essentially, in the fourth round, that's where you start to draft some special teams guys, and, you know, on day three in the fourth round, it'll be an okay pick. One thing, though, is that he's Aussie rules a rugby player, so he's been around for a while. He's 27 years old already, so that means he'd be 37 if he does play 10 years in the league, and punters can play that long, but that's another element to this. He's already, you know, he's already well into where he should be a a veteran player in his career at 27 years old, just going to be a rookie here. But the punter out of Utah, Mitch Wishnowsky, he talked about he could even have an emergency punt with his left foot if he needs to. If things go haywire and he needs to dump a punt out there with his left foot, he can do that too. So I'm interested. He's athletic too, by the way. I mean, he played rugby. So trick plays are possible. Maybe he could do a little H-back too. Who knows? But he can run a little bit, and he might even be able to tackle some people on returns as well. So we'll see if he's as good as Michael Dixon is for the Seahawks. He's an absolute weapon. Then Mitch Wishnowsky will be. I keep calling him Wishnowsky. Mitch Wishnowsky will be a valuable player, and so that's where it comes in, because replacement level punter is basically an undraftable player, maybe a sixth or seventh round pick at most. There hasn't been a punter selected in the fourth round for years and years, and there's a reason for that. So he's got to be that much better than a replacement-level punter. I have my doubts. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say that I would have drafted a punter in the fourth round. And if you miss out on him because you didn't take him and someone else did and you have to draft Jake Bailey in the fifth round or somebody else in the sixth round or just the best undrafted free agent punter, that's the route I'm going to go personally. So is the 49ers roster that good? That's going to be the question, and we'll see how good Mitch Wishnowsky is. But I think he's going to end up being I think he's going to win some people over because he plays with a different style and that Aussie rules rugby style, because he's an athlete too. So I think fans are going to appreciate that, especially if you end up having. It's always nice to have one of the better players at that position group in the league, and in the long run, it'll be worth a fourth rounder if he's around for 10 years and he's one of the best punters in the league. But we'll see. Fifth round, Dre Greenlaw, linebacker out of Arkansas. He is an undersized linebacker, 5'11", 237 pounds. I hadn't watched him really at all until after he was drafted. And I put on the tape, and there's some pretty obvious. And by the way, he has the lowest Pro Football Focus grade of all the 49ers draft picks, 64.6 grade. He's small. He plays small. He looks small on the field. He wore number 23. So he's a former safety. He's going to play will linebacker for the 49ers. He wears number 23, and he just looks like a box safety on the field. If you didn't know anything about Arkansas, you didn't know he was labeled as a linebacker, you would see him as an outside backer, and you would say, oh, yeah, that's the safety, and he's walked up in the box right now. Then you start watching him and realize, well, this guy's always in the box. Oh, he's actually playing linebacker. So he looks like a safety. He's built like a safety, and he gets completely washed out. If an offensive lineman or a blocker gets their hands on him, he's done. Like, he's out of the play. So for that reason, I'm a little bit worried, because the athleticism shows up. He's very active. He is fast, as you would expect for a former safety and an undersized linebacker. I don't see a player that's ready to play right now, and I'm worried he will never be a very good early down defender just because, like, he can't take on blocks at all. So that worries me a little bit. So he is small. He plays small, but he also plays fast. And so there's some development to go there with Dre Greenlaw. And again, I think a lot of this has to do with character. I think the 49ers believed in all these guys, that they're hardworking guys, they're tough guys. And I think Dre Greenlaw is that, and we'll see how he develops. And he is a fifth-round pick, so you're not expecting always to draft starters here or high-end starters. I think he's going to be in the mix to be a backup and probably a special teams player, at least early in his career. But again, not super pumped by that pick for the 49ers. I think there were still some better players there. Still a ton of wide receivers that were on the board there. The 49ers weren't going to draft a third wide receiver. Mac Wilson, wide receiver linebacker out of Alabama, was still on the board, which is a surprising fall for him. Blake Cashman, another one out of Minnesota, is a linebacker I would have definitely selected over Dre Greenlaw. Those were the next two linebackers that went after Dre Greenlaw in the fifth round. Mac Wilson to the Browns at 155 and Blake Cashman to the Jets at 157. Let's say Quan Alexander's ACL's not quite ready to go, and he starts the season on the PUP list or something like that for a few weeks. Elijah Lee's going to be the starter at weak side linebacker. I can't see, from what I've seen at Arkansas, Dre Greenlaw being ready to play in the NFL and start yet. But a developmental guy and an athletic guy, and we'll see how he develops. Probably be more of a special teamer, at least early in his career. And we get to the sixth round, where the 49ers had three picks. Caden Smith, tight end out of Stanford, more of an inline tight end, not super athletic, but he has skills, but he doesn't just have all of this ability. And I've seen Caden Smith on Stanford for a while, and he's like Stanford tight end. So you're like, okay, this guy's going to be a third round pick, you know, because that's what happens. But, you know, he runs a 4.9. He doesn't wow you athletically, but he can catch and he can make plays on the ball and he can block a little bit, and he's probably going to be that inline tight end. What's going to be interesting here is if Hurd does play that H-back position, you drafted Caden Smith, are they going to move on from Celek time this year and not let him play out the last year of his contract? Are they going to try to keep all four of those guys and have Caden Smith be the third tight end, then have Jalen Hurd fit in wherever he fits in? Or maybe they try to stash Caden Smith on the practice squad for a year. I don't know. That's going to be interesting because they obviously have an eye on the tight end position if they are moving Jalen Hurd to tight end and then they drafted in a second tight end in Caden Smith. A solid player, but I think he'll be more of a bottom of the roster type guy. A sixth round pick, number 183 overall, Justin School, tackle out of Vanderbilt. I still have not got a chance to watch him, so I don't know yet. But obviously they think he's good enough to be at least competitive with Sean Coleman and in the mix for that swing tackle position, because right now he is the fourth tackle on the roster. As far as I remember, is there another tackle besides Staley, McGlinchey, Sean Coleman on the 49ers roster? Maybe I'm blanking on somebody right now, but if he's the fourth tackle, that means he's definitely got a shot to compete for one of those spots. And then with the last pick, the 49ers made 198 overall, their third sixth round pick. They drafted a long corner out of Virginia, Tim Harris, who actually has really good PFF grades here. His problem is he's been injured a lot in college. 6'2", 197 pounds, so he's that profile. He fits that long, lean profile of the outside corners that the 49ers have liked and drafted in this scheme. And he's played at a high level in college, which is good. So I like this pick from Tim Harris, but he has been hurt so much, and he's missed a lot of time in his career. And if he's able to stay on the field and be healthy, he might have a shot to compete and play a little bit for the 49ers and make the roster. Because at this point, you know, these guys are just going to have a rough time making the roster. And as far as speed goes, I've seen it all over the place with Tim Harris. I saw them report at his pro day that it was between 4.3, 6.40, and 4.44. And then I saw another report that he ran a 4.6 flat. So I'm not sure exactly where he's at speed-wise, but he has at least played at a high level at Virginia. And by the way, his teammate at Virginia, Bryce Hall, probably going to be a first-round pick, might be the best cornerback in the draft next year. He probably would have been the best cornerback in the draft this year if he came out. Maybe the 49ers just want to get a head start on next year's scouting and ask Tim Harris about his teammate, Bryce Hall. I get a little bit of a Marcel Harris vibe with Tim Harris because he has ability, and he's already shown that ability. And for injury reasons and other reasons, you know, he's probably not on a lot of teams' radars, and he's fallen in the draft, another sixth-round pick. So I wonder if he'll have an ability to stick if he can prove he's healthy. Okay, we're out of time. Got to run through these undrafted free agents really quick here and highlight one of them. And I haven't watched most of these guys anyways, but the most famous one is Wilton Spate, quarterback from UCLA, took over from Josh Rosen there. Tyree Mayfield, tight end from Wyoming. Deontay Roberts, linebacker from Rutgers. Kevin Givens, a defensive tackle from Penn State. Demetrius Flanagan Foles, he is a safety out of Arizona. I got Cam Glenn, defensive back from Wake Forest. Malik Henry, wide receiver from West Georgia. Chris Wilkerson, long snapper from Stephen F. Austin. And then Ross Reynolds, offensive lineman, a guard from Iowa. This is an interesting one. Look at these numbers. At his Iowa Pro Day, and by the way, another guy who's been hurt a ton, but played at a high level when he was healthy. A hair under 6'3", 304 pounds. He ran the 40-yard dash in 5.01 seconds. 10-yard split, 1.64, which is fantastic. 3-cone of 7.14, which is off the charts good for an offensive lineman and a 300-pound-plus player. 4.24 shuttle, same thing, really good. 35.5-inch vertical, crazy good for a 304-pounder, and 27 bench press reps. So these are not even like, these are elite athletic numbers for Ross Reynolds, the guard out of Iowa. And again, another player that if he can stay healthy, I think he's definitely got a chance to stick. And he, with that athleticism, definitely fits what the 49ers like to do and has that Iowa offensive line edge. Because, you know, if you come from Iowa, you like to hit people. So draft grade, a real quick draft grade. Like I said before, they had an A through the first two rounds. I think it went off the rails. Hard to grade a fourth round punter high. I thought the Jalen Hurd pick was an overdraft. I thought everything from rounds 5 through 6, those guys are going to have a tough time to make the roster. One guy I haven't watched a lot of and I need to watch more is the tackle, Justin School. So I have a little bit stronger opinion of him after I watch him more. But wasn't blown away by Greenlaw as the fifth round pick. And, you know, six rounders is just hard anyway to make the roster. So overall, I think you definitely have to weight those first picks higher. So it's definitely not a bad grade. I think it was a really good draft overall. I think it could become a great draft if some of these players develop and Mitch Wishnowsky becomes that elite level punter and is actually a weapon for the team. But I'm going to go with a B plus draft for the 49ers. I'm going to call it a B plus, and it got started with an A, basically round three on. A little bit iffy for me, but I think they nailed the first two picks so well that it's a B plus draft that somebody has to jump up and become a starter and a high level contributor there, from whether it's Jalen Hurd or Greenlaw or, you know, a surprise, one of those 6th round picks or undrafted free agent or somebody that really makes the class and gives that surprise bump from the bottom to move it up into the A territory. Or if Deebo Samuel and Nick Bosa become Hall of Famers, then it's like, it doesn't matter. It's an A because you drafted the amazing players. The 49ers need to draft their stars. They need those two first picks to become stars for the team. And that's that will really anchor that draft in this team for a very long time. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. We will get much deeper into all of these prospects. Keep those mailbag questions coming in for Nick and I on a Winky Wednesday. And I will talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On 49ers.